we'll get an update on what we the people can do to help save our teetering nation, and we'll delve into some really serious issues about why we're teetering in the first place with Dr. Naomi Wolf on this episode of United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. I'm your host, Gary Binford. Thanks for joining us. You can find this podcast on radioinfluence.com, wherever you get your favorite podcast. You also can find the video version on YouTube, Rumble, Conservative Television of America. In either choice, please subscribe, hit that notification button so when the podcast comes, you'll get it. And leave us a comment, a rating, a review. Let us know what you think and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Well, I really love having Naomi on because what always ends up happening is we're talking about a world-renowned feminist who was the darling of the left that got canceled by the left. And when she got canceled by the left, it led to her to talking to the only people that would listen to her anymore, Christians and conservatives, and she started to see life from another point of view. So, very interesting dialogue, and this one I think you're going to really, really find interesting because she is going to tell you a lot of what is wrong with this nation and what we can do to fix it. So are you ready? Well, let's get into it. She's a professor, columnist, public speaker, and best-selling author who doesn't just comment on the problems in America and in the world, but looks for solutions to solve them. She's the co-founder and CEO of DailyClout.io. I welcome back to the show, Dr. Naomi Wolf. Naomi, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me back.
I'm welcome to have you back. This is the first time you're on my video podcast, which started in January. You were on three times on the audio podcast. I thank you for that. And I really appreciate you coming on because you know a lot of things and can tell people a lot of things that a lot of the people that would listen to my show really wouldn't know about. So let's start here. You have a new venture. Tell us about it and why this is very important for we the people.
Thank you. It's so exciting. Well, as you kindly mentioned, I co-founded a site called DailyClout.io, which is news about democracy, basically human rights, the Constitution, civil liberties. And as a former political consultant to the Clinton administration and to the Vice President Gore at that time, I knew that the people were left out of the legislative process in many, many ways. So we launched BillCam, which allows anyone to seek and find and share on social networks federal bills, state or federal bills. And that was amazing. But our newest venture, which launched just this week, is called Legisector. And it's at legisector.com. It's absolutely revolutionary, if I may say so myself. People who have seen it are saying, oh my God, this is amazing. This is revolutionary. And what it does basically is that whatever your issue is, if you're a hedge fund manager, you know, bills and laws related to finance, if you're a real estate broker, bills and laws related to real estate infrastructure, if you're a concerned parent, bills and laws related to education, if you're in an advocacy group around family issues or pro-life or reproductive rights, bills and laws related to those issues. If you care about the border, bills and laws related to those issues in real time, live, socially shareable, and updated constantly in real time, you can see exactly where the bills are in the process. You can advance good bills, stop bad bills from your phone, from your desktop. And it's a custom portal that is just yours, you know, whatever your issue is.
I hear you. Now, before my listening audience cut you off because they heard two names. They heard Bill Bubba Clinton and they heard Al Gore. And they're like, why does he have this woman on the show? Well, you used to be a darling of the left, but that's kind of changed, right? So tell people where you are right now and how you got there.
Sure. Well, let me just remind people that all of our political parties have changed a lot since 1996 and 2000. And I used to be a Democrat, and I'm an independent now. I walked away. I don't think the RNC is the solution. I don't think the DNC is the solution. I think the Constitution and an informed electorate is the solution. But I did consult the Clinton campaign, and I consulted Vice President Gore, because at that time I thought that was the best solution for the country for a lot of reasons. The Democratic Party is unrecognizable to me now. It's become, I consider myself a classical liberal, which means I have a lot in common with all of my new conservative friends, human rights, privacy, choice of, personal choices, dignity. The current Democratic Party is a Marxist party that is trying to open our borders, destroy our culture, groom our children and create a kind of an Orwellian dystopia. That said, as I said a minute ago, I don't think the RNC is the answer. I'm very interested in populist nationalist movements like the MAGA movement. And I think that we're, it's, oh, I promise I'll pause, but I think we're in such an interesting time because populist nationalists on the right, like MAGA, and grassroots, like freedom lovers, from the left, are actually coming together and realizing they have a lot more in common than they thought, and they need each other to fight against the real enemies, who are the oligarchs.
See, and that's what I think has been, to me, the eye-opener in America, which I have been trying to tell people going back into the early 2000s, that what you're seeing now, you're seeing the MAGA movement and Donald Trump being ganged up on by the Republican establishment and the Democrats, because basically, wouldn't you say they're all globalists?
Totally. None of them want him in. None of them want, this is true in Europe as well, the globalists on the left and the right, like the Tories don't want a real grassroots anti-globalist movement, like Nigel Farage, right? Whom I used to think was a horrible harbinger of doom. Now I'm like, yeah, people need their sovereignty back. Yes, the European Union is a horrible idea. Germany, MEP Christine Anderson, who's so extraordinary, she's being branded as a Nazi. Well, they just want their sovereignty back. The German people who support her want to be able to determine their own fate. I think we've all kind of woken up, not all of us, it's a fight to still alert people, but the threat is not, left or right. The threat is losing our sovereignty to a global elite who transcend political parties and use political parties to advance their own agenda.
Right. Amen. Now that you have everybody's attention, the people are saying, Naomi, I get it. I hear you. But I'm having no success with my liberal friends. How did you find your way out? Why is it you see it? They don't. Please help me. My head's exploding. The country is falling apart. What can we do? How did you make it out? Please give us the secret.
How did I make it out? It wasn't intentional. I was ejected. I reported accurately in 2021 on Twitter that women were experiencing menstrual symptoms upon receiving the mRNA injection. This is a beat that's been my beat since the 90s. For 35 years, I've reported on women's health and women's reproductive and sexual health. It's like I was famous and beloved around the world, for doing that. And so I did it again in 2021, and it was a forbidden thing to do. And I was deplatformed from Twitter and Facebook and YouTube all at once. Turns out at the behest of the White House, for whom I had voted, and smeared globally, and I became depersoned by the left. So that helped me kind of wake up, because the only people who talked to me were conservatives and libertarians. So I learned a great deal. And that's the subject of my last two books, Facing the Beast and The Bodies of Others. But to your question, I have this conversation with my friends all the time. I've five formerly liberal friends who had the same journey of, oh my God, how did they not see this? That I did. And I honestly think that this is a metaphysical crisis and can't be explained in normal human terms. In other words, I think we're in a spiritual battle, and I actually think that there is some kind of delusion, like the Bible talks about a strong delusion. Right. I literally see people who are highly educated, critical thinkers, journalists, managing directors of companies, editors, unable to put the pieces together. You know, they were critical of Big Pharma their whole adult lives. They knew about thalidomide. They knew about, you know, all the things, too much estrogen and birth control pills, you know, all the things. And they just bowed down to pharma in 2021, 2022. They knew about discrimination. They knew about the Jim Crow laws. They knew about the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And they bowed down and they objected, right? They would never discriminate against a gay couple or, you know, an African-American person. Bowed down in 2021, 2022 to create a discrimination society and endorse it and police it based on medical status. And they don't see any conflict there. People who said, my body, my choice about abortion, you know, and that your conversations have to be private with your doctor about reproductive issues, embraced, you know, Sotomayor and Elaine Kagan on the Supreme Court embraced health Nazism, in which the state gets to make your medical decisions. So I really can't explain it except that, you know, I think about biblical phrases like the scales fell from my eyes. I mean, I've had this experience of spending the last 2 years with my team of 3,500 doctors and scientists who have read through the Pfizer documents and that were released under court order, and they've written 96 reports. It documents the greatest crime against humanity in history. I'm the granddaughter of a, you know, refugee of Nazi Germany. Well, how can I put this? Nothing that is presented to my former team registers. And so when I say I've reached the conclusion it's metaphysical, I've literally had the experience of talking for the last 2.5 years to half the country who are listening, and they're God's people. Right. And I can't explain that. Like the people who are tuning in, the people who are hearing the warning, who are telling their daughters and granddaughters, don't take this, don't give this to the kids, they have a relationship with God. And the people I've been trying and trying and trying to speak to, you know, disproportionately don't. So I literally, you know, it seems biblical. It seems like I'm reading Exodus right now. It's like these ones were, you know, the angel of death ignored their firstborns and didn't take their firstborns, and they had a relationship with God, and these ones, they took the firstborns. And it's like, how do you explain it? I can't explain it because it's the same conversation in, you know, English. It's literally an urgent call. You know, this will give you a stroke. This will, you know, cause your daughter or granddaughter to lose their baby. You know, you could die from this. And half the country can hear me and half can't. I can't explain it except spiritually.
Well, you just explained it, because this is what it is. This nation was founded, the founding fathers, they birthed this nation on Christian Judeo values, and God is involved. And this is the fight right now. See, you understand we were about to lose our freedom. See, and I laud you, and I have this respect for you and keep bringing you on, because there's a lot of people that came to the same understanding that you came to, but won't help us save the country. You have no idea how many people that will tell me they see all the problems on the left, and then they go, but what do you want me to do? Vote for Trump? Yeah. See, and the point of the matter is they're not willing to save America. Now, as you know, Lenin, Stalin, they talked about the useful idiots, the people that think it's about their issues. They think it's about abortion, or they think it's about same-sex marriage. They think it's about the environment. But it's really about the revolution. And by the time they figure it out, it's too late. You saw what Mao did to them. You saw what Stalin and Lenin did to them, because they're disloyal to their country and they know they can't trust them. The beautiful thing about you is that you have at least seen the light and are trying to now wake people up. And that's so important, which leads me to this. As a woman that has been noted and lauded for so many years by the feminist community, I'm not going to say I'm stunned, because I understand it, but I want to find out from you, are you stunned that feminists have not taken up the mantle to fight what is going on with what constitutes a woman, what constitutes a man, and allowing the schools to take away the right from parents to have their children be what they were born?
It's a really tough discussion. I will not minimize how difficult it is. I mean, the Marxist infiltration, which I believe is real, and I believe that, you know, China has a huge hand in it. Also, of course, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they are externally dividing our country, right? And they're using quote unquote gender ideology as one way to do it. So I've studied the gay and lesbian movement for the last decade of my life. It was the subject of my doctoral thesis at Oxford, the first gay rights pioneers. And what we're seeing now bears no relationship to the history and goals of the gay and lesbian movement, and even the transgender movement, until literally 3 or 4 years ago. Meaning the LGBTQ movement used to be a privacy-oriented, rights-oriented movement that was aligned with many things that conservatives care about. Maybe not, you know, biblical decisions about, you know, whom you should have sex with, but certainly it was a libertarian movement. It was like, you do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do. You know, we won't intrude on each other in state, you know, by using the state to invade each other's privacy. It was profoundly libertarian. And now, and transsexual or transgender people, there was no coinage of trans, and I'll, you know, explain that in a minute if you like. They didn't want to ruin or invade or impose on women. They, you know, overwhelmingly that culture respected femininity and admired femininity and wanted to kind of be part of femininity, right? So I've never, until the last few years, seen these dramatic conflicts where this man who calls himself a woman is, you know, taking off his clothes in front of a 12-year-old in a restroom, or this aggressive anti-libertarian, I need to use your bathroom, you need to call me by these words. It's a new thing. And I think it's manufactured, honestly. And I, unfortunately, the Marxists have been so successful because people in the liberal slash leftist world are so scared of being called racist, sexist, or transphobic that they don't dare anymore say common sense things like school is not the place to talk about sexuality unless it's, you know, kids need to talk about sexuality with their parents or with a counselor that their parent chooses. You know, if that child is confused about gender identity, that's a parent issue. And so this is what's so horrible. Kids are being, I think it's grooming for breaking down the sanctity of childhood and traumatizing children by kind of exposing them to adult sexuality way too early. I think the trans packaging is secondary, and what's primary is that schools are no longer safe. They're being turned into places where adults talk about sex to kids all the time, and that is traumatizing and distracting and disorienting, and we're seeing this rise in mental health issues among kids. So that's my analysis. I don't think it's organic at all. I think it's thoroughly manufactured to divide us and to paralyze us as parents.
Why aren't feminists pushing back against this men, biological men, playing female sports? I thought feminists, it was about protecting the rights of women. Now you have biological men playing female sports, and they're strong. You know, they may look like a woman, but they're not.
Right. I mean, talk about trauma. So what's the intention of this? Again, I think it's to traumatize the next generation. Imagine being a 90-pound 12-year-old girl and your soccer team or whatever has a 150-pound 13-year-old boy, I mean, dressed as a girl or who thinks he's a girl or whatever. I mean, it took me a really long time to speak out. And one reason people are scared to speak out is the minute you address these issues, you get really scary harassment. And it's by AI. So that's interesting, right? That's how I can tell it's an artificial wedge issue. All these bots and trolls come at you no matter what you say to heighten the drama. You know, I used to think this is an easy problem to solve, you know, have a third bathroom or have a third category in sports, or, you know, say if you're XX, you play this team. If you're XY, you play that team. It's not discriminatory, right? We don't have to twist ourselves into pretzels. But I think feminists are scared to raise this again because they don't want to be canceled. Like, I was canceled, right? Thoroughly canceled. I lost everything. I lost investors, I lost professional opportunities. People are terrified of coming up a little bit above the parapet and being called a Trumper or a, you know, white supremacist or a transphobe, you know, all the names that you get called if you raise one little question about this agenda. And honestly, I think there's another thing going on that is very creepy, and I'm seeing it in Brooklyn, which is that it's becoming a status symbol. Like women, it's always, you know, I hate to say this about my gender, but when there's a social contagion, you know, you can count on upper middle class white women to police it and enforce it. I mean, that was true of masks. It was true of, you know, so many crazy things. No disrespect to them. But what I'm seeing is upper middle class white women, they have very competitive social networks. I've been part of them with private schools. They're like terrifying, right? You're either in the in crowd or you're completely in outer darkness. And having a trans middle schooler has turned into a status symbol among those women. So I think that's why nobody is saying, wait a minute, do we need to have drag story hour for kindergartners? Or do we need images of fellatio in, you know, the school library?
Well, Naomi, I have to stop you right there because there's a couple more things we need to talk about. But the one thing I do want to say, I'm glad you're starting to see this, but I can straighten this out for you just in a couple sentences. First of all, God created everybody, male and female. All of everything that you're talking about right now is an abomination to him. It may not be an abomination to you and your friends, but it's an abomination to God. And because of that, if you saw the Ten Commandments at the end, Charlton Heston comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he says, who's on the side of the Lord? Come up here on the mountain. The rest of you stay down there. He threw the tablets down and God destroyed them. This is where we are in America right now, my dear. What is going on right now? God is going to save this country. And the only way he can save us from communism is to make people understand if you keep going down this rabbit hole, that's where you're going to end up. You're going to end up with a godless communist country. And that's why these things, we have to stand up and say, no, thus says the Lord, and I'm standing over here. And that's really where we are. That's really where we are. And that's why you're seeing all this stuff. Norma McCorvey was just one person that wanted to make a choice. Look at where it is now. Now they want to do infanticide. They want to kill the baby even after it's born, after 9 months. Look at where it was. Okay, a guy wants to marry a guy. Look at where it is now. This is what happens. This is what happens when what God calls evil is allowed to just fester. And it'll just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse until you're back into Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he has to destroy the nation. That's what this is all about. We're trying to save the nation. Please help us.
So this is an interesting moment because many of my conservative friends say, like, what's wrong with liberals? This is one of those places where we just don't align, right? I mean, I feel like I agree with you about infanticide. I agree with you about the cheapening of life through mass abortion, right? Even though I support abortion rights in the first month or two, right? I do, because I can't figure out how to have women have equality otherwise, but that's another argument. But when it comes, I think many people are terrified of a conservative presidency because they're afraid that we will become a nation that prosecutes gay men and lesbians the way that other countries do. And I guess what I would say is, I think God, you know, A, homosexuality is not in the Ten Commandments, respectfully. And even the passage in Leviticus that said that people base their objection to homosexuality on is kind of ambiguous. You know, man shall not lie with man the way he lies with a woman. It's an abomination. That word abomination in Hebrew has a lot of meanings. And, you know, eating shrimp is an abomination. You know, like, so people do
Naomi, yeah. See, we'll get into that. I'll bring you back. We can get into a real biblical conversation. But you know why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. You know, but the point of the matter here right now, we want to save this nation. You have taken a stand. There are issues in which you have aligned and are trying to show people, if we don't fight this battle right now, we're going to lose this country and lose our freedoms. What can you tell people they can do to wake up, see the light, and realize You've got to stop the left now, because they're on the road to destroying us and taking away all of our freedom. If you agree with what I just said.
Well, I agree with your general principle. I think it would be really helpful if conservatives who feel as you do said, if they really want to elect, you know, President Trump, or, you know, have these values, it would be very helpful if they use language like, you know, God loves everybody. And, you know, these are my private views that, you know, homosexuality is wrong or whatever. And, or, you know, like, we haven't talked about this, but theocracy, right? Like, I'm Jewish and I'm nervous about conservatives being in power and creating a Christian nation when our nation was founded for religious freedom and religious liberty. So those are just two minor critiques. But
Mamie, we said this the last time around. Christians believe in freedom. I'm not going to stop another person from what they want to think or do. We give freedom. Look at what the left is doing. They're taking all the freedoms away. You can't say that.
That is an awesome soundbite. Like, that's awesome, because I want you guys to win right now. You know, I really do. But it would really be reassuring, and it would attract a lot of undecided voters or upset Democrats if people would say, you know what, we believe X and Y, you know, but that's, you know, you are free to do what you want to do. We believe in freedom. So having said that, what can people do? Because I know you want to bring me back to the sort of how do we save our nation? Duly noted. We have to do so much. Daily Clout partnered with a group called American Voters Alliance. We've drafted a bill, a model bill, to compel election integrity, and we need to pass it by November. So there are 5 states now that have adopted it, are pushing for it. 1 state, Maine, already tried, and it was defeated by the Democrats. It's a very interesting bill, because not only does it solve ballot harvesting, you know, insists on paper ballots, voter ID, same day vote counting, human vote counting, you know, no absentee ballots. But also it's a bill that smokes out who's really trying to destroy this country, because it's the Democrats who keep opposing it and Republicans keep trying to pass it. So please download that bill from dailycloud.io. It's right on the homepage. Send it to your state representative, organize your neighbors in a potluck, get this passed. And I will go to any state house on my own dime to lobby for it if you invite me through a state representative. What else can you do? I think, well, I always end conversations like this with, I think horrible things are going to happen between now and November, because I think these Democratic Marxists do not want an election. They don't want President Trump to win. They don't want America to be restored. It's that simple. So I think, and I'm nonpartisan, I'm talking about external forces, right? So what people need to do is prepare for that. And so get your food supply in, get a generator, print out your financial documents, because the grid may go down. Learn to shoot, get a gun. You know, I'm not.
You did, right?
I did. And I believe in all of that. Get your medical kit, your medical supplies. I've been doing a series on natural remedies, because we can't trust pharma anymore. So to be as self-reliant as you can possibly be, get to know your neighbors, you know, make friends with your neighbors, go to church, go to synagogue, tighten your communities, pray, because it's going to be a very dangerous few months. And I'm just going to remind people that unfortunately everything I predicted since 2021 has come true, because I studied closing societies, I studied fascism and totalitarianism, and it's a very simple game plan. So next up is, here in New York, there was just a subway shooting. I was on that same line earlier that day, and the drumbeat is, oh, you know, Governor Hochul has released the National Guard to take over the role of civil policing. Where's the National Guard? Send them into the subways, look in people's bags. That's a theater to create a you know, that's a police state. Like, that's the end of democracy. When the military is taking over the role of civil policing, you no longer have a democracy. So people really need to fight these moves that are coming at us. Banning TikTok, right? That's an opening salvo to banning you, banning me, right? Just, you know, upending the First Amendment. They're after our Constitution, and we need to stand strong and fight.
Well, I'm for the. I have a major problem with TikTok because I know it. I know where its origin. I know where it starts, and I know what it's about. But that's another story. We'll save that for the next time. Naomie, thanks for coming on. Please tell people how they can reach you and anything you'd like to promote.
Thank you so much. So we need everyone's help, especially to pass this model bill. It's very expensive. So please go to dailyclout.io, become a member, become a donor, a supporter. You can support us also on my Substack, which is called Outspoken. And you can order the Pfizer book online from our website, Daily Clout, or you can go to Amazon and order the sequel called The Pfizer Papers and give that to people you want to save or people who are having health problems. It'll help them a lot.
You know, I always love talking to you because I learned so much from you because you've been on the other side and you actually know how they think. And I really appreciate the fact that you have seen the light, because a lot of people have seen the light, but they're going to stay there and let their brothers and sisters just drown and end up in a communist nation. The one thing that we have in common, you love freedom and I love freedom.
Very true.
I want to thank Dr. Naomi Wolf for coming back. This is her fourth time. And, you know, we really get into a spirited conversation. And one of the things I love about Naomi is we can talk on the air, give and take, and she'll tell me exactly what she thinks, and I will tell her exactly what I think. And as you noticed, the conversation, it got spirited, but it always stays respectful. So I respect her. And I love the fact that she is seeing the light and trying to do something about it, because there are so many people that I know who know we're in the midst of an attempted communist takeover, who know we're in the midst of a section of this country trying to turn us into a godless country. And all they have to say is, what do you want me to do? Vote for Trump? So thank you, Naomi, for who you are, what you've learned, and what you're doing. Keep up the good fight, because we need more like you who are willing to stand up right now and say, I don't necessarily agree with everything that you Christians and you conservatives believe, but I understand if I want a free country right now, I have to side with you. So once again, thank you very much for who you are, and keep up the good fight. This podcast is available at radioinfluence.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hope you subscribe. Leave a rating and a review, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. The video version you can find on YouTube, Rumble, and Conservative Television of America. You know, and once again, hit that subscribe button, put your notification on, so every Tuesday when it drops, you'll get it. There's also an audio archive of this podcast where there's more than 150 high-profile guests who have previously been on the show. And I think you'll really, really enjoy listening to some of these people. They're the likes of Dr. Ben Carson, Will Witt, Monica Crowley, Carrie Lake, David Horowitz, Michael Loftus, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Brigitte Gabriel, Dick Morris. It goes on and on. Brandon Tatum, Carol Swain. So we hope you'll check that out too. Well, that's a wrap for now, folks. So thanks for joining us. So until the next time, this is your host, Gary Binford, saying God bless you, God bless your families, and God bless America.